Holy young woman playing a holy song. Fantastic. We all know tonight that we're tripart beings. And what we're going to do is kind of split the service in two messages. The first, to clarify some things about that tripart being that we are. And the second, and clearing that up a little bit will help us with the second point, the main point I'd like to get across this evening. Now, it's common knowledge to most Christians. What are the three parts of our person? Why don't you tell someone next to you or ask them, what are the three parts of our body, of our person? Go ahead and talk to somebody about it. This is what we are. We are what, and what? Okay. Turn to 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Many of God's people, they'll say we're body, soul, and spirit, right? Right. Well, that's true, but that's not God's order. God's order is not body, soul, and spirit, although that's how people live, even some Christians, body, soul, and spirit. And that's why it rolls off the tongue so easy. We're body, soul, and spirit. But that's not how it says it in the Bible. The Bible says spirit, soul, and body. Big difference. Now, look, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you, holy, entirely, completely, all of you. And I pray, God, that your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless under the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's right now. That's for today. Now, I'm going to illustrate tonight a little bit. It helps us stay awake and pay attention at the same time. Now, we are going to say this chair... Some chair is this chair. It's going to be the flesh tonight, and we know about the flesh, right? it's the transporter of the soul. It's the bone. It's the muscle. It's the nerves. It's the arteries, the veins, a variety of vessels, the circulation and temperature, and all those things. That's what the body is. Now we know this corporeal frame. It's concerned with one thing, and that's about itself. Right? The corporeal frame is about me, myself, and I. How can I please myself? It's sensual to have you do with the senses. But God says in His Word that sin can reign in the thing, and that it's enmity against God. In it dwells no good thing. We're to make no provision for it. In this flesh alone, we cannot please God. It's lustful. It's immoral sometimes. We're to have no confidence in it. And it's just a tool in the master's hand. That's the body. Mentioned 175 times in the Bible. Now, this is the soul. Ah, yeah, this is going to represent our soul tonight. And it's moving around a little bit. We'll move it a little bit tonight. It's the actuator of the body. Without the body, the soul would be what? I don't know, maybe a blob on the floor or float away into the sky. I don't know. But the soul needs the body to move. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And what did man become? A living soul. That's what you are, you know. You're your soul. When you look at yourself, you see this body. But really, you're a soul. Every man has a soul. It's the intellect. Science tells us it's the psyche, it's the affections and the will, the seat of the senses, the heart's desire, the appetites, the passions, the decision maker for your body. It's in charge. It tells your body what to do. Now, this word soul is used by everybody, everywhere, forever. Not much is known about it. Bless his soul. Oh, my soul. Poor soul. Confession is good for the soul. No one says confession is good for the body or the poor body or bless his body. Search your soul. I promise I won't tell a soul. Life, you're the life and soul of the party. He's a wise old soul, not a living soul in sight. Soul is soul to the devil. Bear your soul. He poured out his soul. My soul brother, my soul mate, my soul sister. Oh, he's a good soul. There's soul food and there's soul music. We have something called soul stirring hymns. The hymns aren't meant to stir the body, they're meant to stir the soul. At the funeral we hear, God rest his soul. People don't know much about the soul, but they don't say the body. That soul, the Bible says, real quickly, I mean, it's crazy talking about all these things in one night, but the soul can swear, it can be unclean, it can be ignored by God. It is a soul that we make our vows, it can be distressed, it can be depressed, it can be... When you're anxious, it's really not your flesh, it's not your body, it's your soul that's anxious, it's your soul that's worried, it's your soul that's vexed, and you can see that in the body. The body without the soul is nothing. It grieves. It can be selfish. The soul can. It can be vexed, thirsty, filled, empty, desire good and desire bad. It's with the soul that we ponder the things of life, not the body. Souls that hunger and souls that are never satisfied. Souls that are empty and souls that are afflicted. Souls that love and souls that hate. Souls that delight in good things and souls that delight in evil things. Souls that are saved and souls that are lost. Souls that obey God and those that don't, but transgress. Souls that enjoy the good of their labor and souls that don't. Souls can be satisfied. Souls can be contented or unsatisfied and complaining. Soul, with our souls, we worship God. God says our souls are to be kept. Our souls are to be guarded. You are a soul, a living soul. And that soul controls that flesh. Are you with me? If that soul and that flesh are tight, you know what's going to happen to that body? It's not going to do the things that God would have it to do. No, that soul's got to be over here. That soul has got to be in your spirit or with your spirit, with God's spirit. So now you have this area here, and you have this soul. Move it back into the center. We couldn't find a heavier pulpit. I don't know. Anyway, the soul, it's... God breathed into you His breath, His spirit. And that's the spirit, soul, body. Spirit, soul, body. Let me just say a couple more things about this soul. Listen to these words to prove what I'm saying to you about the body and the soul. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. Are you bitter tonight? You're not bitter in the flesh, in the body. You're bitter in your soul, but you can see it in your body. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat. Their soul is melted. Why? Because of trouble. You feel melted, down, depressed. You got soul problems, not a body problem. Was not my soul grieved for the poor? My soul is also sore vexed. Oh, Lord, how long? Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. Your body's not going to. And my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in salvation. In His salvation, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Why, David said, why art thou cast down? Oh, my soul, why art thou disquieted in me? The body's not cast down. The body's not disquieted. It's your soul. You've got a soul problem, if that's you tonight. All through the Psalms, David's talking to his soul. What shape is your soul tonight? I ask you a question. We might as well come to church and go home with something, even if it's not good. Huh. You have a healthy soul tonight or a sick soul? A peaceful soul or war? At war with your own soul. Quiet, noisy, joyful or sad, clean or dirty, worry-free or anxious, contented or complaining, humble or proud, loving or hateful, pure or polluted, patient or impatient, restful or sleepless, faithful soul or not, forgiving soul or not, worshiping soul or not, spiritual soul or not. Where are you tonight? I could say, how are you feeling? You're feeling in your soul. And you can tell by a man's face. You can tell by their countenance, which is another whole sermon. The spirit is the breath of life. God says, for we are the circumcision, which worship God in spirit, small s, our spirit. We worship God in spirit. That's where I want to be. That's where I need to be with my soul. And I want to be as my spirit and my soul want to walk united with the Spirit of God. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit, small s, and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. See, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit, small s, and in truth. It's the spirit that we pray, how we pray, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit. See, it's the spirit that survives death, not the body. And they stoned Stephen and called upon God and saying, "O Lord Jesus, receive my spirit," small s. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, He said, "Father, unto thy hands I commend my spirit," small s. "Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit," small s, "shall return unto God who gave it." Back in Genesis. The soul gets its direction from the spirit, and the flesh acts on it. The soul will take directions from your spirit, who's in fellowship with God. And your flesh will act on that. Your body will act on that. We'll talk about that tonight. That's going to be my point tonight, later. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. I said, "Then walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh or the body. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There is therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." We are body, soul, and spirit. Your soul is controlled, should be controlled by the Spirit, your spirit, who's in contact with God's Spirit. Now, move this back. I want to go talk a little bit more about the soul. This is what we're talking about tonight. It's an amazing topic. It's in the Bible 500 times. Almost three times more than the body's mentioned. Not that it means anything to anybody, but I'd like to talk about it. You know what God would have you to be? A fat soul. Fat soul. Fat soul. What? Right? I'm not talking slang. He'd have you be a fat soul. Really? Yeah, listen. "And I will satiate." Oh, what a word. "I will satiate the soul," not the body, "of the priest with fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, saith the Lord." Satisfied to the full. "They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the rivers of thy pleasures. My soul, it says in Psalm 63, "shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness." Not that. But that, "and my soul shall praise thee with joyful lips." You see, your body is not going to praise God without a fat soul. And a fat soul gets fat by the Spirit, dwelling with the Spirit. Wow. "Thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy paths drop fatness." Wow. "Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness." Fat soul. So I ask you, are you a fat soul or a lean soul? If you're a fat soul, well, then you've been over here with your spirit and God's spirit. If you're a lean soul, then your body is fat. Now, I don't mean fat, physical fat. I mean it's fat in the world, in a worldly sense. Now, let's talk about it just for a moment. We'll get on to the message of the night. Most of us will do well if we gain a few soul pounds. No? Most of us do well if we get off the soul fast and start eating. It's the all-you-can-eat. I mean, all-you-can-eat buffet. The soul can never overeat, can never fellowship too much with the Spirit and God's Spirit. There's no such thing as an overweight soul. You need to, no need to diet when it comes to the soul. We spend so much time in our country eating and trying to lose weight. It's no different than drinking, advertising drinking, and preaching against drinking, and the world's against drinking, but everybody drinks and gets drunk. Wouldn't it be amazing, church, if the people of God would be as passionate about the soul and the things of God as they are about food and feeding the body? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm all about it, man. I'm liking to eat. I like to cook. I like to bake. I like to eat. I enjoy God's food. But I don't think I do more than I enjoy this. I think there's a balance someplace in it. And I mean, if you read Ecclesiastes, Graham and I have been listening to it a lot. If you read Ecclesiastes, God gave us it to enjoy. Enjoy the food. Enjoy the fruits of your labor until it gets out of balance. If our soul's desire for God would match our body's desire for food, wow. Would anybody agree with me that the world is out of control for food? Some people do. We no longer eat to live. We live to eat. There's a balance there. I like it as the next guy. I'm going to blow your mind. What I'm about to say, you're going to have to look up for yourself. Because you won't believe it. There is a show, TV, network, and the name of the network is Food. And that's it. Food. What? Yeah, just food. If I told that to my father back in 1970, he'd slap my face. A network called Food distributes to nearly 100 million U.S. households and draws over 46 million unique web users monthly. Grandma and I, we'll watch a food show now and then. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just stating the fact that the U.S. is crazy for food. The Food Network is 24/7, 365 days a year. The who's, the what's, the why's, the where's, the when about food, from barbecue to baking. There's a show called, there's hundreds of shows. You can't mention the shows. There's one show called The Worst Cooks in America. Now, who in their right mind would spend their time watching a show on The Worst Cooks in America? I got enough problems of my own in the kitchen. There's grocery games. That's no game. And then there's Diners, Drivers, and Dopes, right? That's a big one. Beat Bobby Flay. Chopped with Ted Allen. And very, very famous, very popular cooking show host Rachel Ray, which to me is fine if you're deaf. I can't take it. Turn off the ear things. Wow. I don't know how you listen to that. Turn it down low. Now listen, this Christmas, I'm not kidding you, man. It's crazy. We're going crazy. This Christmas, get your family under the tree. Turn on TV. Yep, look it up yourself. And you can watch a show called Deck the Halls with Cake and Frosting. Yeah, Deck the Halls with Cake and Frosting. Okay, that's a show. Can anybody argue that America is possessed with food? I Googled food. And on the top of the page, it says 14 billion. I Googled eat, and top of the page is 14 billion. I'm all for food, I'm all for eating. But I say this, if it's out of balance, it's just too much. And if we could turn our energy to God that we do for food, look out of the way. Our obsession with food, someone's got to say it, I'm just going to say it. Our obsession with food is so great that a new people group has been invented. A group they call foodies. You with me? Foodies. A person having an avid interest in the latest food fads. I'm all about food fads. Wikipedia describes a foodie as a person who has an ardent or refined interest in food and who eats food not only out of hunger, but as a hobby. A person, I got a hobby, right, Grandma? We got baking hobbies and cooking hobbies and barbecue hobbies. Nothing wrong with that. Please don't go home and say, I got to throw out my thing. You don't. I'm just saying. Are we out of balance? I'm asking. A person keenly interested in food, especially in eating or cooking. A person who enjoys and cares about food very much. Different subgroups in this people group have developed called the gourmet, the epicurean, the connoisseur, the gastronomist, the dilettante, the savorer, the glutton, and the sensualist. According to research, new research, 2023, more than half Americans, 53% Americans, consider themselves to be foodies. That just seems mental to me. I'm sorry for saying that. I shouldn't say mental. It seems off to me. How would this world, for God's sake, change if we had more soulies than foodies? There's a way to do that. I'm going to show you. I'll tell you. Simple trick in life. You know all about life, right? Are we teachable tonight? It's about life. I say, you eat three times a day. Can anybody read three chapters a day? Or every time you go to eat? Is that too much? You eat three times a day. How about praying three times? How about giving thanks three times a day? We have the midnight snack. How about when you get up for your midnight snack, you open the Bible and read a verse? How about you get up a midnight snack and you pray for Sister Harriet? Pray for Brother Z. Pray for me. When you're watching Bobby Flay do his thing and Rachel Ray with the sound off, maybe you can give God as much time. Just thinking about Him. Praising Him. Thanking Him for the food. Oh, what kind of ingrate enjoys the food of God and doesn't thank Him every single time, from the smallest thing to the greatest? When you have your dessert, wouldn't it be something? Okay, family, it's dessert time. We're just gonna say something sweet about God or one another. Yeah. Incorporate God into our food thing. Now, part two. There's six miktums, it's called. Miktums in the Psalms, miktum of David. Six of them. A miktum is a golden psalm, known as a golden psalm. It's known as golden because of its content. It's like fine gold. Some have rendered it precious. David's golden or precious jewel, these six psalms. And the one we're looking at tonight, to make my point about this soul, the fat soul. What controls your soul? Your spirit or your body? It's very easy to tell. Turn to Psalm 16. This will be our text for tonight. Psalm 16 will zip through and out. Psalm 16. The miktum of David. Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord. My goodness extendeth not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent in whom is all my delight. Look at the verse now. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord. David's talking to a soul now. Thou, my soul, hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord. My goodness extendeth not to thee. That just means whatever piety or virtue or goodness that I have, any good in me, anything good I do, it doesn't affect God, doesn't help God, doesn't make Him holier or have more power. My goodness extendeth not to thee. My soul said, thou art my God. My goodness extendeth not to thee, but to the saints that are on the earth, and to the excellent, in whom is all my delight. You know how you tell a Christian who's got a fat soul? He delights in the brethren. He does good things for the brethren. And he doesn't talk the brethren down. He doesn't gossip about the brethren. That's a man. That's a man after God. That's a man whose soul said, thou art my God. My goodness extend not to thee, but to the saints that are on the earth. And as you yearn for God, you will yearn for the brethren. As you love God, you will love the brethren. As you're thankful to God, you will be thankful for the brethren. And those that aren't are way over there. You can tell a person's relationship, what I'm saying, this Mictum says, you can tell a person's relationship with God by how they treat others. Don't tell me you love God if you talk trash about the brethren. If you like my mama used to say, if you got nothing good to say, what? Don't say nothing at all. If you're affectionate towards God, you'll be affectionate towards others. If you're happy with God, you'll be happy with others. That is what the psalm is saying. Oh, my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord. You're first in my life. My goodness extend not to thee, but to the... My goodness, because of your goodness, extends to the saints. And if you're friends with God, you'll be friends... To what degree you're friends with God, you'll be friends with the saint. For how you care for God, you'll care for the saints. And that thing that drives you nuts about the person over here won't drive you nuts, because God is your all. God is everything to you. And you have said in your soul, thou art my God. So it won't bother you. If he makes fun of you, talks about you, whatever, it's not going to bother you. That's a fat soul. Don't doubt it. The saints, the last words, in whom is my delight? How can I delight in all these people? I'll tell you how, right here. A fat soul. You're with God. You fellowship with the Lord, and you know God. Is that not what David's saying? And it's called a golden psalm. How do you know someone's walking with God? I'll tell you how you know. I'll tell you how he's genuine. As far as I'm concerned with this scripture, the man that delights in the brethren, you love to come to church because you love the brethren. You're known by what you love. You're known by what you desire. Let me illustrate. Guy says, I'm a great cook. I've got 100 cookbooks in my house. I watch the network that's called Food. I talk about food. I tell people about food. I got the greatest and the latest inventions for cooking food. But he never cooks. What good is that? Burn your books. Sell your stuff if you never cook. Oh, you can talk about it, but you know you're a good cook? When someone else tells you. Pastor C, he's a good cook. He's got all the cool stuff to cook with, but you know what? He doesn't have to tell me about it. He just serves it up. And it's always, always good. He's never cooked a bad thing for me. He changed my life when we got saved. He'd say, you never had fried peppers. You never had linguine and clam sauce. You never had what? And a guy can cook. How do I know that? I've tasted it. What are you known for? Oh, I got the Bible. I'm in the choir. I go to street preaching. I go to soul winning. I read my Bible every single day because the pastor says you're supposed to. I pray every day. And I do this and I do that. What good is it if you don't visit the sick? If you don't care for the fatherless? All that other stuff, I don't think it means anything if you don't do. If you aren't delighting in doing good to the brethren. Now listen, and listen well. I'm winding down. I'm going to give you the meat of the message right now, and you need to listen. I'm going to give you the unadulterated, unmixed. My speech is mixed. Like a crazy person, but not God, not his Bible. Pure, incontestable, indescribable, indisputable, beyond comprehension, the unqualified truth of God. A truth that defines just where you stand with God. Tonight, let's take a litmus test. We've come all this way in the freezing cold. Let's find out who we are tonight and let God talk about it. We know that we are passed from death unto life because, why? we sing in the choir, or I give my money, or I go on missions trips, or I read my Bible. No, because we love the brethren. He that loveth his brother abideth in light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. When you live like this, and you love the brethren, I guarantee you will live a better Christian life. The most miserable Christian on the earth is the one that lives for himself. We're not wired that way. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son Jesus Christ and love one another as he gave us commandment. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth, that's the brethren. He that loveth not knoweth not God. Why? For God is love. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us. People will see God in you. Because you can't see God up here, but he can see him in you. That's what the verse is saying. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. This is the commandment we have from God, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Is that you tonight? Is there someone you just can't stand? You got a problem. Can I tell you something? I don't love you because you love me. And I don't love you because you say you love God. I love you because I love God. That's God's mathematics. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. How? If ye have love one to another. That guy can cook. You dig what I'm saying? These things I command you, that you love one another. Listen, Paul is in prison. He writes to the Ephesians church, a church at Ephesus. Someone had wrote him a note saying, you can't believe how these people love each other. Paul, it's going to blow your mind. Listen to this. He's in jail now. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto the saints. He first heard of faith, then love. We have faith, then love. Faith and love. That's God's order. Wherefore I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto the saints. I cease not to give thanks unto you, making mention of you in my prayers. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you. It's ridiculous. For ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. What is your labor of love? Which ye have showed toward his name. How have you showed your labor of love to God's name? In that ye have ministered to the saints. And do minister. Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Unfeigned love. No fake. True. Genuine love. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous. I'll tell you what I want to be. I want to be a soul man. A soul man for God. A man after God, then I'll be a man after God's people. I'm going to give you a quick illustration and I'll be done. The other day, this past week, my wife was cooking soup. We can call this a soup message. It illustrates what I'm saying perfectly, I think. Maybe not. Maybe you think it's crazy. I like to call my wife the SG. I call her the soup goddess. I mean, that girl, is that wrong? Is that wrong? She can cook, man. I mean, soup is her thing. Well, she gets this celery. Who wants celery? No one likes celery. It's the worst vegetable in the world. No one wants to be born a celery. No one ever has. What do you have for supper? A celery. But she takes it, cuts it up, puts it in a pan, and she puts a little butter in there. And then she cuts up some onion and puts it in there. And onion meets celery and butter. And you got children. Flavor children, maybe. I'm telling you. All of a sudden, the house starts filling with this smell, and it's driving me crazy. Well, she puts this in and that and this and other thing. Puts what I want in it, what I like in it. And she sets it before the king of the house, and I look down in this bowl, and I see all this stuff floating in there. Little stuff, big stuff, stuff I can't really even see, stuff that's dissolved, but it all makes the soup. And I take a deep whiff and bring it into my being, and I realize I'm a foodie. I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of it. Delicious. And I think that's how God would have it to be. Oh, that first bowl, I eat to satiate my hunger. But that second bowl is like pure love, I'm telling you right now. In the soup, any soup, you got macaroni and rice, carrots, spice, I don't know, seasoning, salt, pepper, parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme. Meat, beans, mushrooms, potatoes, corn, bouillon, sour cream. I mean, no one's going to have a bowl of sour cream by itself. But in the soup, flour, corn starch for thickening, cheese right in the soup or on the topping, cook time, simmer time, patience and love. And she lays that in front of me and she sees my thankfulness. She hears my gratefulness. She sees my satisfaction drive her crazy by going, bring joy. And not just joy to her man's heart, but nutrition. You know, that parsley flake by itself, whoever opened up a jar of parsley and took a slam of that? Nobody. But you know what? The soup needs parsley. No one's gonna pop an oregano thing and swallow that down with a glass. I don't know anybody that eats celery, really, but by itself. No one's going to chomp on an onion. But you know what happens? All these things get mixed up, and they all have a job to do in the soup. And one missing thing in that soup, and you know, my wife and I will say sometimes, something's missing in the soup. Maybe a little chili powder, I don't know. Maybe a little salt, I don't know, something's missing. The oregano's not off in the corner in the soup bowl, gathering up all the oreganos, saying, we're done with this gig. We're done with this gig. Why can't I be the garlic? Why can't I be the meat? Why can't I? Oh, this cheese. No one ever says when you're eating a bowl of soup, this oregano is out of this world. No one says, no, this parsley, wow, Linda, where'd you get this parsley? It's fantastic. No one says it. But it's in there, and it's necessary to blend and make something incredible. The church, to me, it's a soup bowl. And in this soup bowl, we have celery and garlic, onions and some macaroni. Some rice, some carrots, some spice, some parsley, sage, rosemary, some meat, some beans. It's some sour cream. A little cornstarch, a little cheese. And we all have a job to do. No one's ever going to praise the dissolved things in the soup, but they're in there. And now some of us, we're not going to get praised. But we need you. Not everybody can be the garlic. Oh, I'd like to be the garlic. I'd like to be that meat. People say, that meat was out of this. This cheese is just amazing. No one ever ate a bowl of cereal, of soup and said, this celery is phenomenal. But it's in there. And it's key ingredient. And they all just mix together. That's the body of Christ. And what we end up making is something so flavorful, such aroma, such taste. It brings such joy, such harmony, all in this bowl doing our jobs. A soup made by the Master. Do you believe God you as an oregano? You believe God puts you as a garlic? Maybe a celery. Maybe you don't want to be celery. Maybe you're a sour cream. Maybe you're flour. I don't know. But you know what happens when we all work together and that soup gets stirred up and things get done? We become a victim of God. We become valuable, golden, precious, and of great price. Would it be so in our body, we find our place in this bowl of soup, It's happened in one way. Fat soul. And that's happened in one way. You know what? I'm going to close with this right here. Forever I've said, if you don't read your Bible, you're not going to make it. This is what I mean. This is it defined. If you're not feeding your spirit every single day, coming to church, not just to go to church. Maybe you are. Maybe you're still in to be seen. What happens to your soul? It loses weight, loses weight, loses weight, loses weight, loses weight, loses weight. And all of a sudden you're saying, I do not know why that guy said that about me. You got a problem. And it's not that guy and what he said. You're the problem. And your relationship with God's the problem. And you start saying, oh, I can't believe they're doing this in this church. They shouldn't be doing this here. It wasn't like this before. I don't know what's happening. That's stupid. That's a skinny soul and a fat body. You dig what I'm saying? All right, let's stand for prayer. We're not having an invitation. Your invitation is to go home and cook something up good. And what I'd